And what it said was, change is the event. So for this church, the change was Pastor David being gone. The transition is the way that we react, the way that we feel, and what we do in response to the change, how we deal with it. And so, we face change all the time, don't we? Everything changes all the time. Financial situation changes. Your kids' ages changes like crazy. They're always growing and they're always becoming somebody different and new. Change happens. And to be honest, there's not a lot you can do about it, is there? The transition is where we have the responsibility and the ability to interact with that change. So for us as a church, Pastor David is gone. He retired, semi-retired, and is doing something different. But that leaves us with questions and wonderings and the transition of what are we going to do and who are we going to be. Now, transitions are hard. Because a transition means that something has ended. And the thing that we don't like the most about change is that normalcy has ended. The way that we were used to things happening is no longer the way things are going to happen. And that's really hard for us. You see, a transition begins with an ending. And there are three stages of transitions. There's the ending that starts the transition. Something has ended. The way things were is not the same. And then we enter into a time period, and this is where we find ourselves right now as a church, kind of in no man's land, wondering what we're going to do and who we're going to be. But there are good things about no man's land. You see, you can be the most creative in this middle section between the ending and the new beginning. In this middle section, there is a lot of freedom to think about how things have been, how things are, and how we want things to be. And then we can be creative with the ways that we create and develop and think about who we want to be. Who do you want to be as a church? Let me tell you something. There are a lot of churches. You know that, don't you? Every corner in this town has a church. Most churches are in a holding pattern. They have a pastor who preaches. They have people who do stuff, but they're not growing. Most churches, the majority of churches, are not growing. And that's hard. Because if you're not growing, you're either staying steady or you're dying. And no church wants to admit that it is dying. That's a hard place to be. But you see, we're in the middle. We're in a place where we can ask questions about what we can do and how we can become. A lot of churches are just in a holding pattern. But we have freedom to ask ourselves questions about how are we going to become a church that is growing. Now, I'm not talking about just numbers. A lot of churches don't think they're growing unless their numbers are increasing. But the truth of the matter is, you can be a growing church even when your numbers are decreasing, because you are following after God and sacrificing and trusting that God is in control. The numbers aren't the full story. They're part of it, but they're not the full story. So for us, part of the transition, part of recognizing where we are and what we're dealing with, is we have to come to terms with that ending. Endings are hard. Endings don't feel good. There's a mourning and grieving process that needs to take place when something ends. But we have to not just get stuck in the ending. We need to be moving on towards that middle ground where we're willing to ask ourselves, what are we going to do and who are we going to be? Now, to illustrate this a little bit, I want to tell you a story. There was a man. His name was Terah. Terah lived in the city of Ur of the Chaldeans. And he had three sons. He had Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, Haran died when he was a young man, and Terah decided to take his other two sons and their families and move to a city really far away that was also called Haran. We don't know if he named it after his son who died or if it's just a coincidence. But Terah took his son Abram and his son Nahor and their wives and their cattle and their slaves and everything they owned, and they traveled up to Haran. Now, while they're there in Haran, God speaks to Abram. God says to Abram, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Now, most of us would have said, okay, show me. Tell me where I'm going, and I'll go. But Abram says, okay, just show me the way. And so when God, in chapter 12 of Genesis, God tells Abram, if we can pull it up, in verses 1 through 5, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him. But catch this. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now, In the beginning, God says, leave your father's household. Leave everyone behind. But Abram takes Lot with him. And if you know the story of Abraham, Lot is nothing but trouble. Lot does not help anything. Causes problems day and night. So, the first thing that I want you to remember as we enter into this time of transition, obey what God says to do. Sometimes God tells us to do things and we say, all right, I'll do that, but I'm also going to do this. We'll say, I'll follow you, but I want to take people I'm familiar with so that I'm not alone. My family, we were living in South Carolina. We had lived there for almost 8 years, I think. And we were looking for where God was going to call us next. God called us to Illinois. And God said, move there. Go to this church. Do this ministry. You're going to be alone. Our families, my parents, Melissa's parents, Melissa's sister, my brothers, all live in South Carolina. And we said, okay, we'll obey. Our kids didn't want to. In fact, in all honesty, it was very hard on our kids because they had good friends. They had people that they shared life with. And then we get here and the church that we're going to has no kids. They have no friends. And it's been hard on them. This has been a challenge on my family. But this is what God called us to. And God has showed us how faithful He is when we are obedient. What is God calling this church to? And what things are we holding on to that God is saying, just let go. Just let go. That's something that worked for a while. That's something that did great ministry. But now I've got this for you. Well, the story of Abraham goes on, or Abram at this point. Abram and his family get to Canaan, and they're not there very long until a famine hits. So what do? Well, like Joseph's family, like Jacob and his family, they go down to Egypt. And there is an interesting thing that happens when they get to Egypt. We're told that Abram is 75 years old. Sarah is, if I remember correctly, about 10 years younger than Abram. And Abram says to her, look, you are very beautiful. If the Pharaoh knows that you are my wife, he will kill me and take you as his own. So when we get there, just tell the Pharaoh that you're my sister. So that's what they do. They go to Egypt. Abram is a wealthy man, and so he has an audience with the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh sees Sarah and says, wow. And takes her as his own. But God strikes the Pharaoh and his household, basically with a plague of boils and problems. and they're trying to figure out what's going on, and it's revealed to the Pharaoh that Sarah is actually Abram's wife. So the Pharaoh freaks out. Like, what did I do? What did you do? Why did you tell me this? We have two things that we can take from this story for transitions. One, be honest with yourself and with your church. Be honest with who you are. Sometimes I think that as a church, we don't even know who we are. I'm not just talking about First Baptist Greenville. I'm talking about churches in general. People don't know their own gifts and their own abilities and passions. And when the church, when the individuals in the church aren't aware of who they are, they don't have good self-awareness, the church itself doesn't function well. So what we need to do is we need to take time as a church and assess who we are. Assess who we are as individuals. We need to tell the story of this church. Now, I don't mean when it was started in, was it 1839? I mean the story of this church that is your story. I know we have people here who've been here for 60 years. Why have you been here for 60 years? What brought you into this church in the first place? What made this church home? And that's a story that everybody can tell. What made this church your church home? And inevitably, every story always generally comes back to relationships. People loved me when I walked through the doors. People greeted me and treated me like a friend or like a family member. People embraced me, and when I was going through that hard time, they were there for me. That's the story of a church. And that's the story that we need to remind each other of as we are moving forward with who we're going to be. Remember who you were and know who you are. Be honest with yourself. That's absolutely essential to moving forward as a church. In that middle time between the ending and the new beginning, when you're trying to figure out who you are and who you are going to be, be honest with yourself. Now, the famine ended, and Sarah and Abram and Lot left Egypt and went back to Canaan. And when they went back to Canaan, the land was good. And Abram and Lot had a great number of cattle and sheep and goats. They had a lot of servants, too many to live in one community. And so Abram says to Lot, have your pick of where you want to be. I'll take what's left over. So what does Lot do? Lot picks the most fertile ground that there is. He picks the best area. Leaves Abram with the desert, basically. Always be honest with yourself, but be kind. In Genesis 17, 1 through 8, we get God's renewed covenant with Abram. Abram always chooses kindness to Lot. And that's something that we as a church need to do. There are going to be people who take advantage of our kindness. But you know what? We be kind anyway. There are people who are going to use this church to get what they can. We be the church anyway. There are more people out there who legitimately have needs that get swept under the rug because people are afraid they're going to help somebody who doesn't actually need it. That's been a problem in several churches that I've been in. I worked on a staff of a church of 7,000 at one point, and my job was to greet the people who came in asking for help and to figure out the ways that we could help them. I was told to spend as much time as necessary vetting these people to know if their needs were legitimate. I wasted hours on people who came in just with the need for groceries. I spent so much time trying to figure out if their needs were legitimate that it was wasted time that I could have been helping others. There's so much fear in the church that we're going to help somebody who doesn't need it, that we hurt people who actually do need it. And for me, to be honest, I would rather help somebody who doesn't need it than be at fault for not helping somebody who actually does need it. That's what we're to be as a church. We're to be kind and show love and meet needs. We have a role to play in the community. We have a role to play. We're going to read this passage and then we'll conclude. Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down and said to God, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." One thing, the final thing that I want you to remember about transitions: God is with us. It may be hard. You may miss David and the way he preached and the way he related to you. I know he was a good friend to many people. It's legitimate and reasonable to grieve. It's okay to miss him. He was here for 14 years. That's a long time to be in a community. I know he misses you. I had lunch with him twice this week. He misses you. But he's following God where he needs to be. Amen. And now it's our turn to follow God where we need to be. Amen. So who are we? We are First Baptist Church of Greenville, a church that is committed to following God wherever he goes and wherever he leads. We have the freedom right now to be creative and to think about things that we have never done before. Maybe you've seen another church do something, or maybe you've been thinking to yourself, I've never seen a church do this, and I don't know why. We have freedom to come up with new things and try new things. Some of them may and probably will fail. But failure is not the end. Amen. Failure is just a chance to learn. Be willing to think of new things, ways to relate to people and meet people's needs. We have good ministries. The clothes closet, dinner church, those are great things. What else can we do? You see, I was looking at statistics this week, and I know from being one of them that millennials are not going to church as much as boomers and Gen Xers go to church. And Gen Z and Gen Alpha go to church far less than the millennials go to church. There is a real problem in our country and in the world, actually, that people are choosing to not go to church. But when you talk to them, the reasons they give for not going to church is not they don't believe. There are about the same number of people in each generation that are believers. The problem that they're coming up with why they don't go to traditional church is because they don't get anything. The church doesn't offer them anything, even relationships. You see, most of the time people show up on Sunday morning, come for their hour or two, and then go home, and that's all that we do as a church. Church should be about community and building relationships. And if we want to engage younger people, then it's going to take offering things that are essential to them. Engaging them in ways that they see as essential. Doing things that we may not actually like or want to do, but that help them. It's hard to help people. It's hard to meet people where they are and meet their needs. But what we're saying today is we're in a time of transition where we can try those new things. So what about you? Do you have any ideas? Do you have anything that you've been thinking through? There are the church board, me, other people in the church, talk about those ideas. Share those ideas. Get passionate about those things. And you know what? We have the freedom to try things. In fact, we've been called to try things. Because if we just sit here, things will not change. The church will change because the leader changes. But if we're not willing to get up and do, then we're going to stay just as we are, or we may die. The thing about change and transitions is change is always happening. You just have to be willing to be involved in it. You just have to be willing to be a part of it. And prayerfully consider how you can be involved in what you're doing as a church. So, I want to conclude today with a prayer, and then we'll have our song, and or we'll have our music and I'm not exactly sure how we're doing this.
Praise the Lord.
Are we singing a song at the end? Okay, we'll be singing a song together. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we know that change happens all around us all the time. God, we know that our kids change, that the neighborhood changes, and even our church changes. God, sometimes we get stuck hoping that our church will not change, because change is hard, and change challenges us, and change makes us uncomfortable. But we know that it comes anyway. So God, we pray that you would give us hearts open to transition, that we would be able to acknowledge and grieve the ending, that we would be able to move through that middle ground, that no man's ground, with creativity and sustained faith, and that when the beginning comes for who we will be in the future, even next week, as we make decisions about how we're going to act for the next few weeks and months and years, God, that our basis, the foundation of who we are, would be the knowledge that you are with us. God, you are good. And we love you. And we pray that we would be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.